Jeremiah 17 and verse 5, the Bible says, "Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man, and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. For he shall be like the heath in the desert, and shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land, and not inhabited. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. The heart is deceitful above all things, and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways, and according to the fruit of his doings." So today we are going to talk about the heart. Let's pray. Lord, I pray that you would guide us this morning, that you would use your word in our hearts. Lord, that each of us would focus on hearing from you, knowing that your word has the power to truly do a surgery in our hearts. And all of our hearts need work. None of us are there yet, Lord, and we just ask you now to speak to each one of us, to meet the needs, to do whatever surgery you have to do, Lord, to accomplish your will in our lives, that you, we know you want to conform us to the image of your Son, Jesus Christ, and use this time in your word now to continue to accomplish that. How we love you and give you this service, and may you be magnified and glorified through it. We pray it all in the name of our wonderful Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. So most of us are familiar with that verse 9. We might not have it memorized, but we know about the verse that talks about our wicked heart. But God here equates the where our heart is with blessings versus curses in the Christian life. And it all comes down to, as we see in this passage, who is our heart trusting? Because the tendency of our heart is to trust self, whereas God wants us to trust only Him. We saw that there in verse 5. Cursed be the man that trusteth in man and maketh flesh his arm. When our heart is trusting in man, when our heart is trusting in self, God says we're in the wrong place. That we can't trust those things because, as we'll see later, the heart is not reliable and man is not reliable. The Bible says in Psalm 118:8, it's better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. We cannot trust in man. The Bible says in Psalm 146:3, put not your trust in princes, nor in the Son of Man in whom there is no help. And most of us know, of course, Jesus said in John 15:5, without me, ye can do nothing. Cursed. Think about that word. Cursed is the man that trusteth in man. And notice why it happened at the end of verse 5. Whose heart departeth from the Lord. God equates trusting man with a heart that departs from God. Because they're the same thing. If our trust is not in the Lord, then our heart is departing from the Lord. Our heart is not seeking the Lord. Our heart is not going after the Lord. It's actually going in the wrong direction. It's departing from the Lord if we're trusting man. That's why God says in Proverbs 3:5, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. If we're trusting man, our heart is departing from the Lord. That's what he's telling us here. Verse 6, he shall be like the heath in the desert, shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land, and not inhabited. Have you ever met a Christian that has a dry Christian life? That's what God's describing here. Whose heart departeth from the Lord. Why? Because the heart is trusting man. Now, man includes other men and it includes self, but it's other than God. And we're always trusting one or the other. God says if the heart is trusting man, it's cursed and it's departing from the Lord. Look at the contrast in verse 7. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord. So we got cursed and blessed. Big difference. And the difference is, who are we trusting? Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope, it says there in verse 7, whose hope the Lord is. Now, if you would go to Psalm 1 and verse 1, and God here again talks about the blessedness of trusting in the Lord, of going the Lord's way. And the Bible actually pronounces a lot of blessings for God's children, but they usually come down to a decision on our part. Who are we trusting? Notice Psalm 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not on the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Blessed is the man. Who what? Has his delight in the law of the Lord. Trusting in the Lord. Blessed is the man. Psalm 37. Turn over there if you would. Verse 5. Bible says, Psalm 37:5, commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Look at Psalm 84 this time. Psalm 84, verse 5. Now I want you to see that this consistent pattern in Scripture of blessings being equated with trusting God and curses being equated with trusting man. Psalm 84, verse 5. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, in whose heart are the ways of them. So again, a blessing pronounced on those whose strength is in God rather than in man. So the Bible tells us all through Scripture, trust in the Lord, trust in the Lord. But what God is teaching us here is it's a heart problem when we aren't. That our heart is departing from the Lord if we're trusting in man. Our heart needs to be trusting in the Lord. Notice verse 7, whose hope the Lord is. Our hope is in one thing and one thing alone, and that's God. I mean, we know we're safe. Why? Because our hope's in the Lord. We know we're going to heaven because our hope's in the Lord. We know that Jesus will never leave us nor forsake us because our hope is in the Lord. You see, our heart needs to be trusting God and hoping only in him. Now, after teaching us this contrast in trusting, he reminds us, we saw there in verse 8, he shall be like a tree planted by the waters. That same thing there in Psalm 1:3 about the planted by the rivers of waters. Verse 8, and shall not see when the heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green. So as opposed to a dry Christian, we see a flourishing, fruitful Christian. And it all comes down to the heart. Who's the heart trusting? And that's when God goes to verse 9, the very well-known verse. Now that we've been taught, who's our heart trusting? Is it following after God and trusting God? Or is it trusting man and departing from the Lord? Verse 9, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? What a statement. So that means we can't trust our heart. Not only can we not trust man, but we can't trust our own heart. That's what he's telling us. That it's deceitful. That it's wicked. Sounds like we're in trouble. Praise God for salvation. If it wasn't for salvation, we'd be going to hell. Now, go back to Jeremiah 10, if you would. And I absolutely love this verse because it makes it so clear that we cannot trust our heart. Verse 23, Jeremiah 10:23. O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. Look what God is saying there. It is not even within us to know what to do, to know the right thing, to know where to go. And isn't it something how everything around us is telling us just the opposite? Trust your heart. Trust the force. Trust whatever. Trust this inner thing that we're supposed to all have. And we'll conquer and go out and do great things and so forth. God says, wait a minute, the heart isn't something that we can trust. That it's deceitful and that it's wicked. So which is it? Well, since God created us and since He's the final authority, I think we'll take His word on it that we can't trust our heart. That our heart is going to lead us astray. Look at Proverbs 28:26, just to drive the point home. The wisest man that ever lived outside of Jesus Christ made a statement about the heart and whether or not we can trust it. Proverbs 28:26. Let's see what Solomon had to say. He that trusteth in his own heart is a fool. There it is. He that trusteth in his own heart is a fool. How many times do we hear Christians say, oh, but it just felt right. It just felt right. Well, you know what? Our feelings come from the heart. Our feelings aren't reliable. Matter of fact, they're often unreliable. Whether or not something feels right doesn't define whether it's right. It's whether or not it's in line with this, that it's right or wrong. But how many times do Christians who love God, Christians who believe the Bible, say it felt right? How many times have you heard people say, I had a peace about it? Well, we've all said that, haven't we? But what's that really mean? It means I felt good. It means it felt right inside of me. But again, is that reliable? You know, we give the charismatics a hard time for putting so much stock and faith in their dreams and their visions. And they say, oh, I had a dream and I saw this and I know it's true and therefore you can't argue with me. Or I had this vision and you can't argue with. You can't argue with. What do you say? Oh, your vision or your dream is not reliable. You can't tell people that. But it may not be reliable. And we live in a world where the battle that we're fighting isn't something that we can see. We saw this in the book of Ephesians. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against spiritual wickedness in high places. There's a spiritual battle all around us that we can't see. And that would include getting visions and getting dreams and getting feelings. You think the devil can't manipulate those things? Of course he can. So what do we have to do? We have to rely on God. And God will guide us if we'll do that. He's promised that. We'll see it. We've seen it over and over again in the Scriptures. We can trust God. We can trust God's Word. But we cannot trust the heart. He's made that ever so clear. It's deceitful. Look at the phrase again in verse 9. Above all things. Think about what God just said. Our heart is deceitful above all things. There's nothing more deceitful than our own heart. How about that? And it's not only wicked, but it's desperately wicked. God wrote this. God made us. God knows what we are. He tells us that our heart is desperately wicked. Look, if you would, at Mark chapter 7. Jesus Christ tried to get this point across to the Pharisees and the scribes because they were trying to teach people that if they would just follow a long list of do's and don'ts, they could get to heaven. Assuming they were Jews, of course. And that's not true. You're going to go to hell. Works don't get us to heaven. Only Jesus can get us to heaven. But their problem was they were self-righteous. Because they were trusting in their works. You know, the Bible says in Romans 10:3, they being ignorant of God's righteousness, but going about to establish their own righteousness, had not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. And let's face it, the average person on the street, that's exactly what they're doing, isn't it? They're trying to establish their own righteousness. They believe they're going to get themselves to heaven by keeping the Ten Commandments, going to church, getting baptized, whatever, but by doing stuff. They're trusting in their own works to get them to heaven, trusting in their own heart to lead them the right way. And Jesus, notice Mark 7, verse 21, Mark chapter 7, 21, Jesus said, "For from within, out of the heart." Now, what spurned this, and I'll read the rest of the passage in a moment, was the Pharisees got upset when the disciples ate without washing their hands first. And it made them so mad, they just couldn't take it. Why do your disciples eat without washing their hands first? Don't they know that's one of our guidelines, that you got to wash your hands before you eat? It's right there. It's in the margins where we wrote it beside God's Word. You have to wash your hands. You have to wash this, and you have to do this a certain way, and you have to always wear this and do that. And Jesus said, that's just dirt, basically. I'm paraphrasing. But he basically told them that anything that we put into our mouth, that doesn't defile us. He said what defiles us is what comes out of us. How we act and what we say. And then he went on to say here in Mark 7, "For from within, out of the heart of men proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness," and on the list goes. Did you know where it came from? Out of the heart of men, those things come. This is the same deceitful and desperately wicked heart that we're talking about in Jeremiah 17. Jesus said, that's where all the problems come from. That's where the sin comes from. Out of the heart of men. And why do we trust it? We shouldn't. And so the Lord, go back to our passage in Jeremiah 17. He finishes this. First he tells us our heart has got to be trusting only God through God's Word. If our heart is trusting man, and by the way, that includes our own heart, we're departing from the Lord. Then he reminds us how desperately wicked the heart is. And then he says in verse 10, "I, the Lord, search," what? "The heart." It's all based upon the heart. I search the heart. And when we stand before God, we talked this morning about Christians standing before God, being judged for their works, not for their sins. A lot of those works are going to get burnt up. You know why? Because they weren't done for the right motive. Because God knows the heart. And God knows the motive of the work. And if it was for self-glorification, self-praise, for man to be admired, or admire what we did, it's going to burn up. God searches the heart. God knows our hearts. That's why Jesus told the Pharisees and scribes and the people of the day, one day you're going to be judged for your thoughts, not just your words and your actions, but your very thoughts. Praise God for salvation. We don't have to be judged for our thoughts. But God searches the heart. He says, "If I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings." God searches the heart. Let's go to Psalm 139 if we could then. And David understood this truth. And David, therefore, when he came to God in prayer, look at one of the things that he said. Psalm 129 verse 23. He said, "Search me, O God, and know" what? "My heart." David obviously had an understanding that our heart is wicked, that our heart is deceitful, and it can lead us astray, and we'll tend to trust man and trust ourselves rather than trust God. And so David said, "Lord, search me and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." I believe if we come to God with that kind of a prayer, the Holy Spirit will answer this. "Lord, I know my heart is a problem. I know that it's wicked. I know that it's deceitful. Search it. And as we are in His Word each morning, I believe the Holy Spirit will do just that. He will search the heart and say, yep, there's a problem. Need to work on that. Yep, you need to take care of that. But are we willing to ask this question? Now look at Hebrews chapter 4. Most of us know verse 12. Hebrews chapter 4. Most of us know it by heart. The Word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the hearts. One of the most beautiful passages in the Bible about how powerful the Word of God is. But do we know verse 13? The next verse, which says, neither is there any creature that is not manifest in His sight, but all things are naked and opened under the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. Now, why would that verse be right after verse 12? Because God uses the Word to do just that. Look back up in verse 12. A discerner of the what? Thoughts and intents of the heart. The Word of God, unlike any other thing that we could touch on this earth, has the power to discern the thoughts and intents of the heart. That's an amazing power that we can't even understand. If somebody said, explain that, we can't. How can the Word of God be so powerful that it can even discern the thoughts and intents of the heart? How can it be so powerful that it can dividing asunder of soul and spirit? We don't even know where the soul ends and the spirit begins. The Word of God does. And God goes on to say there in verse 13, all things are naked and open of the eyes with Him with whom we have to do. What's He saying? That if we'll allow it to, the amazing, quick, and powerful sword of the Word of God can discern the thoughts and intents of the heart and open things up. And God will point things out through His Word. If we, like David, will pray, search me and know my heart. God will do that very thing in His Word. It has the power to do that. Our heart can't be relied upon. And it must be trusting only God when our tendency is to trust only man. The answer is we've got to be in the book and allow the Word of God to continue to do surgery on the heart. Now, if we could look at one more passage in the book of James, just one over from Hebrews, in chapter 4. I wrote down the wrong reference. I thought it was chapter 4. Maybe it's chapter 2. If somebody knows where it is about looking in the glass. Verse 1. Chapter 1, sorry. I did write down the wrong chapter. James chapter 1, verse 22. Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Do you see what God is saying? He is equating the Word of God to a mirror. Which is exactly what it is, if we'll allow it to be. I mean, when we look in a physical mirror, we don't always like what we see, right? And sometimes we might use hair coloring or makeup or whatever to change it. Sometimes when we look in this mirror, we don't like what we see either. That's why a lot of Christians don't want to go there as often as they should, because they don't like what they see. But if we'll go to the Word of God with an open heart and say, Lord, search me. Know my heart. I know that it's deceitful above all things. I know that it's desperately wicked. I want to go your way. I want to trust only you. So show me. You think God will? Well, it says right here that He will. That it will discern the thoughts and intents of the heart. That it will pierce to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. That it will give us a reflection of ourselves, which then will allow us to let God do the surgery He needs to do. It all comes down to the heart. Trust man, trust God. That's our two choices. We know what we should do and we know what we want to do. But also acknowledging this fact that the heart is not reliable and allowing God to continue to work on it because it needs a lot of work. It comes down to the heart. And I would hope and pray that our desire would be that our heart would continuously be molded and changed by God through the power of His Word to be more of what He wants it to be. But that takes work and it takes a bit of pain too. But it's worth it. The heart. Let's pray.